You're like, Eli's got some problem here. It's like,
just put it real quiet and put it in there subliminally.
Just like underlying the whole show, just like very soft Eli whispering.
I'd love to put it in front of Thrive just to confuse people.
It's a... Okay, fair. Welcome to episode number 55 of the Memory Jar. As always, we are here to remember the cards, the decks, the people, and the stories that make Magic the game we love. I'm David Prestwood, and with me, as always, is my co-host Christian Wright. Christian, how are you doing?
You could say I'm pumped. It's always great to do an episode, and we have the return of a fantastic special guest. You may know him as the winner of Mythic Championship 2, and as a guy who really knows humans, the tribe, and real-life people, too. He's also a member of the Rivals League this season. We know him, however, as an infect goober and a fantastic person who always won our local FNMs. Well, back to the show, Eli.
You could say I'm excited to be here.
Hey!
We did it. That's right. It's that'll make sense later. It's Pro Tour champion friend Eli Loveman. Eli, how are you doing?
Good.
Surviving the quarantine. That's a win.
Definitely surviving.
Eli, it is great to hear from you, but you wanted to share something with us and the world today. What do you have in store for us?
I've gotten a new preview card from M21, and I wanted to give it to you guys, share with it. Thanks to Wizards for the preview card from M21.
Oh, man. We get to talk about a core set 21 preview card. I'm super stoked about that. It's a lot of pressure, so hopefully we'll get it right.
Yeah, and I really hope, honestly, it's Giant Growth, because... of all the cards I've wanted to spoil in my life, it's Giant Growth. Boom, +3/+3. Talk about
that's
it.
A winner.
But effective.
Well, before we do that, let's do what we always do and hit the random card button on Scryfall and crack open the memory jar. All right, our random card this week is Thrive. Thrive costs X generic mana and a single green mana. It is a sorcery, and it says put a +1/+1 counter on each of X target creatures.
It's sort of like a crusade effect for green decks, just kind of inefficient, but everyone loves +1/+1 counters.
I do like +1/+1 counters, and Dissension liked +1/+1 counters. We were fed the version from Scryfall from Dissension. This card was originally from Prophecy, and I had no idea. I thought it premiered in Dissension.
Oh, no. It was totally in Prophecy. Like, how would you describe this art, Eli? The Prophecy art?
Ugh. Well, the elf is definitely getting pumped up, but I'm not exactly sure with what.
Something unnatural for sure.
It looks like he had a very explosive fart. Like, I'm just going to put that out for the record.
Yeah, his hair is kind of floating in the wind.
Just, dude, it's okay. Go to the bathroom. Fighting can wait.
He's not thriving. The regular art of the lizards, those are thriving. They're getting a little bigger and they're attacking en masse. This card was in Modern Masters 2015. And I remember it from that set. There was actually a pretty good go-wide token deck, but I don't recall ever wanting to play Thrive in that deck.
Yeah, this card definitely got a lot worse, I think, as the sets. I mean, I never drafted Prophecy, but it was probably way better to pump your creatures back then. And then in Dissension, you had the +1/+1 counter theme. That's probably when it's at its best. But like by then, like it's just like expensive, and you're only getting one counter by 2015.
I think this is a nice catch-all they can put in for any potential standard set because, again, it works well with +1/+1 counter themes, and it's very Timmy-ish, too. It's like, whoa, if I pay 30, I can give 30 creatures +1/+1 counters. And you're like...
Yeah, I guess it is a common X, but I didn't really think of that.
Yeah. I remember the Duelist previewed this, I think. It was the Duelist or the... maybe it was Top Deck. And they were like, whoa, it's the first green Crusade effect, man. It's going to be so cool. You can put it with your Blastoderm. And it's like, first, that doesn't really work. And second, Magic was kind of different in 1999. So,
all right. So Thrive, not exactly thriving in 2020, but we may know what's thriving in 2021. So I picked up lunch today from Lian Chin. Christian, I brought you there. It's one of my favorite local chains here in Minnesota. It's kind of a fast, casual Asian food place. And as part of that, they do give you fortune cookies. So I cracked my fortune cookie today, and it says, I'm holding it here in front of me, a friend will soon reveal an exciting secret to you. So Eli, would you like to reveal an exciting secret for us and our listeners?
Our preview card is Primal Might. It's an X and a green for a sorcery. target creature you control gets plus X until end of turn. Then it fights up to one target creature you don't control.
This is pretty cool. This seems like a big limited bomb. Is that right?
I mean, it basically will kill anything, right?
Yeah, it feels like it. If you have the mana, if your opponent can't interact with you at instant speed, it feels like at worst you're going to kill their best creature and then attack and kill their worst creature when it has to chump block. But if you have any kind of evasion, if you could put this on a flyer or a trampler, oh, baby, man. Like, here's what's going to happen to me every time. I'm going to leave back one creature to block, and my opponent's going to give their creature +10/+10, kill my only creature, and then just kill me. It's going to be wonderful.
Yeah, the best case scenario is that it kills their creature, and then it also kills your opponent.
It also has a hidden effect of basically being X and a green, give a creature you control death touch. Like, kind of like a very bad Bone Splinters, but like... You know, it's there. That's going to happen.
If the creature is big enough, does it technically have death touch if you have to block it?
then it's just the abyss for only one turn. Yeah. You know, the other thing is on the floor side, if you just don't pay anything for the X, if you just pay a single green, then you get a fight spell, which is Prey Upon. And that's always a playable limited card.
And you don't have to fight. There's three modes to this, essentially. You can pump a creature. You could fight a creature, or you can do both.
That is true. If they don't have a creature on the board, you don't need to target it. You're just targeting your own creature.
I object to the statement that the floor is the X equals zero, because like you do have to be careful when you're casting this card, because if you tap out like and spend your whole turn playing this, and then they kill your creature, that's really bad.
That's true. The floor is... You gotta be careful. Yeah. The floor is your opponent has their shields up, and plenty of untapped mana, and you get horribly blown out, which is what will happen when I cast this card every time. But my creature's going to get bounced or removed in some way.
Dear Blade.
The nice thing about this is it does scale up well. You could play this on turn three if you need to, or you could, you know, top deck it and try to win the game. It works in all modes of the game. This is kind of a hidden gem, if anything. Like, people are going to see it, it's a rare, and they're going to complain about it, but this is actually quite good.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a big, flashy, exciting rare, but when you think about how powerful it is, and just understanding that you do need to take your time with it and find your spot, the power level can absolutely be rare. You don't want a lot of these floating around at Uncommon. Can we talk about the flavor text for a sec? There's an interesting reference here in the flavor text. I'll read this. It says, "The shaman looked at the world through Galta's eyes and understood that everything else was his prey." We've got Galta flavor text.
I thought Galta was a chick.
That's a good question. We might need
The shaman's a dude.
Yeah. No, that makes more sense. I don't know. So we're recording this prior to Core Set 2021 preview starting. So by the time you listen to this, listeners, you may already know about Galta, and you're like, whatever, new Galta, old news. But we don't know in the past.
There's an implication here that a Galta is coming.
So, Eli, would you play with Ghost Galta, and why?
Is it big like the last one?
It has to be. That's like baked into the requirement. They're not going to make a 3/3 Galta.
Big? If it's big enough, I could be convinced.
Like, what's big? Is like 13/13 big? Does it have to be bigger than previous Galta?
Well, also, they have, what's that card from Throne of Eldraine that caused green, the giant king or whatever? King.
Yorvo.
Yorvo, yeah.
So he's probably friends with new Galta.
Yeah. Ooh. No, I can see that.
Yeah, the art on this card is just a translucent spirit Galta, where if you look at it from a distance, it just kind of looks like clouds or something. And once you get up close, you're like, oh, that's a horrifyingly giant dinosaur.
Interesting enough, it looks like they're on Ixalan.
They may be. The core sets usually hop around between planes, so we might have some... I mean, if Galta's there, as far as we know, Rivals Galta was not a planeswalker. So Galta should probably be on Ixalan.
Oh, yeah. Those pyramids definitely are not from Amalekhet.
No.
Correct.
So here's a question. Do you think they're going to reference any other Elder dinosaurs? Because they've been doing Elder as a thing, and they've been kind of building up to Elder stuff in the past couple sets. Should we finally see Elder Tribal, like Grandpa Tribal in Core 21?
And you choose Elder as a type for your coat of arms?
Yeah. Totes.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe there's a sorcerer for each one.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we'll get a, you know, Tetsamok spell that causes your opponent to lose X life and you gain X life or something. Who knows?
Damn, they should reprint. That's what Texamoc does, right?
Yeah, I mean, basically. One-sided damnation.
I'm not going to lie. That'd be incredibly tilting if they just reprint Tetsamok. Like, just reprint previous Tetsamok and be like, go to town.
No, this is good for the limited format. Everybody likes seeing this card. All right. So, Primal Might. We have a rare X fight spell. Let's talk a little bit about its place in Magic history, both fight specifically and then where Primal Might fits in. Just to note, we've recently had a lot of one-sided punch cards where a creature deals damage equal to its power to another creature. To be clear, this is not that. This is fight. The creatures deal damage to each other, and so there is some risk involved. You don't want to pay green and 10 and then fight your opponent's 1/1 death toucher. That's probably not going to end very well for you.
Yeah, I literally did that at a Pro Tour, so.
We've all done it. Not at a Pro Tour, so.
Bone Picker has Death Touch, dude. Who knew?
Who knew?
I mean, secret Death Touch card, Bone Picker.
Everything has a wall of text these days, so I don't blame you. Where did fight start exactly? It seems like this has been around for a long time in Magic history.
100%. The first fight card was actually one of the old book promos. Book promos are famous because of the original Mana Crypt, but a card named Arena, that's right, not the program. Arena was from the Harper Prism books. You could send in a card from the back of the book and they would send you a copy of this card. It's a land and it has 3 and tap. Tap target creature you control and target creature of an opponent's choice they control. Those creatures fight each other. And then in parentheses, it reminds you, each deals damage equal to its power to the other. Now, I'm going to read you the original text of Arena, just so we know. 3 and tap, choose one of your creatures and have your opponent choose one of his or her creatures. Both target creatures become tapped. Your creature does its power and damage to your opponent's creature, and your opponent's creature does its power and damage to yours. So we clean that up a little bit.
A little bit. And we don't have the weird text format anymore. So if you ever, we'll link a picture to the original Arena on our show notes, along with the other cards we talk about this episode. And they don't do this anymore, but like they have it right, they have it left justified in like Kern by about like 5 or 6 Pikas. Like there's this weird white space.
The book promo kerning was exceptionally weird. I don't know if they just had, you know, some strange place print them, but it's an odd one. So first fight card was not even in a set.
No.
You didn't get a reprint of this until Time Spiral time shifted cards. So what was the first standard legal fight card?
It's actually a card from Visions called Triangle of War. It cost 1 colorless mana. You can pay 2 and sacrifice it, and a target creature you control fights a target creature or an opponent controls.
So basically 3 mana colorless artifact fight spell.
Yeah.
That's weird. I noticed that this was a rare.
This was a rare because Magic was weird. It was the Visions booster box and booster art because it's beautiful. Like Ian Miller drew absolutely gorgeous art. But because it's rare, it's on the reserve list.
An illustrious start for the fighting career.
Wow. Wow. First real fight card on the reserve list. Keep the reserve list forever.
This was really powerful in Mirage Visions. I mean, I'm speculating, honestly. I was not even playing Magic at that point. But, like, there's a lot of small creatures and a lot of flanking. So, like, I could totally see you give a creature flanking in combat that you would normally trade with or something, and then you fight it to kill it. Like, I mean, it's an instant speed fight, colorless fight spell. It's good with not good with Lurrus anymore.
Sad.
Well, yeah, I was actually reminded of that because, like, they could reprint this card and in any set on power level, and it'd be fine.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a lot of those. They keep printing like cards with like Dart in the name, or like the Bear Trap from Ikoria, like the. Pay like a like way more mana than you should to deal 3 or 4 damage.
Right. This card would be annoying though. You just pay 1 and it just sits in play, and at any time you can just instant speed fight your opponent's thing. Gross.
Yeah, they could functionally reprint. I mean, they can't functionally reprint it. I'm sorry, Wizards, if you're listening, you can't do that. That's against the law. They'll come and arrest you. I mean, you could like print a version of this. Do you have any other ideas, Eli?
You could swap the activation and the upfront cost, maybe. But I think it's more it's fair to keep the activation cost, the expensive part.
Like maybe a 5 mana version of this. Just like
5 mana tap and sack.
2 and 3. two on the front end and three to activate.
Yeah, something like that.
Wow, we're printing worse versions of cards from Visions. We've really done it. R&D, you're looking for new talent.
Yeah. Well,
this one's a rare. This one's a rare.
That's true. Here's a fun Primal Might fact. We've never had a fight card with X in its casting cost.
That's wild.
So we've never had some kind of plus X and fight a creature. In fact, we've rarely had some kind of X spell where you get plus X. This is the first time that's ever been printed on a sorcery.
What year is it? No, legitimately, what year is it? The quarantine's been too long. It's, 2020? And it we never had an X spell that pumps creatures that's not fire breathing?
No, we have. There are two cards that will give you plus X. They're both instants. The first one, originally from Onslaught, was Tribal Unity. And that was, hear me out, X, 2, and green. So you're paying minimum 3 mana plus X for an instant. And creatures of the creature type of your choice get plus X until end of turn. So you can actually pump a large group with that. This card is actually, commander playable in other formats. But the other one was Untamed Might. And that's a very simple X and a green for an instant from Scars of Mirrodin. Target creature gets plus X until end of turn. That's probably the closest thing that we have to Primal Might. And, it's an instant, but you don't get the fight out of it.
Untamed Might was one of my first favorite cards. Because I realized that, it taught me, about mana six. Like, that was the card that I learned like that. Like, oh, if you have a bunch of mana, you get to do bigger stuff.
What were you pumping with this when it came out?
Was it Death Duelist? No, it was Fencing Ace.
Oh, yeah.
And Leatherback Baloth or whatever.
Yeah, it's interesting this card hasn't been reprinted, but I guess it would be kind of miserable to play against. You just wait for your opponent to not block one of your things, and then you go ham and just dump all your mana into it and kill them.
Yeah, it's not actually that good as just a combat trick, because you have to always pay more mana than you're getting.
Right.
It's normally you want the giant growth side where you only have to pay a green to win a fight.
I mean, it is fireball and green.
Yeah, yeah, that's the other side of it. Like, it, instead of being a combat trick, you just win the game.
So also worth mentioning, as I was looking this up, there's actually one other pay X mana, get plus X effect in all of Magic history. And I'm still surprised that there are this few, but it's called Puffer Extract. Christian, do you know this card?
I vaguely remember it. I think I opened it in Mercadian Masks packs back in the day. It's 5 generic mana for a artifact, and you pay X and tap, and target creature you control gets plus X until end of turn, and you destroy it at the beginning of the next instant.
How did I miss this when we were looking at cards for our Masks block show with Shiva? This card's nuts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You just get to, berserk something every turn?
Yeah, I first read it, and I was like, I saw the mask set symbol, I was like, okay, get ready to laugh. And then I'm like, wait a minute.
You can use this as a blocker if you want to.
It works really well with, Kresh the Bloodbraided or, and Alinda the Duskrose. Those two care about creatures' power, but, you just arbitrarily make them huge, and then you get some great benefit afterwards. It's pretty fair. I'm digging it.
Can I also just note that this doesn't require you to sacrifice the creature, it just destroys it?
Yeah.
So there are potential shenanigans there, if you have something that's indestructible or... That seems okay.
That's weird. Process?
You work on all the ankles.
I want to find the deck for Puffer Extract. I'm going to find a commander deck and get a copy of this and throw it in. Let's be real, it probably just goes in the Gruul Xenagod deck and you just make something big enough to kill your opponents. That's fine.
That one is indestructible, so...
It is.
It is.
Yeah.
It's too bad you... it's already too good with Blightsteel Colossus, so,
you got to make a bigger Blightsteel.
You need more power.
We could do it. We have the technology.
We do.
Get through their whole team. One of the other interesting things here is this is a rare, and there are only a very few fight cards that have been rares in Magic history.
Yeah, so we've got Dromoka's Command, Prepare to Fight. I think that's the nomenclature, if I remember correctly, mm-hmm. And Setessan Tactics.
Yeah, Dromoka's Command was obviously a standard all-star, basically a charm. It's green and a white for an instant, and you can choose two. One of them was target creature you control fights target creature you don't control, but you could also put a +1/+1 counter on a target creature, so maybe a little combo there. You could prevent damage target instant or sorcery spell would deal, or you could make a player sacrifice an enchantment, which could be relevant in that block. Prepare to Fight from Amonkhet was one of the split cards, and so it's cheating a little bit because you can only cast the fight part out of the graveyard. but prepare was one and a white to untap a creature and it gets +2/+2 in lifelink. Then if you could pay the back half the same turn, fight for 3 and a green, then you have a bigger lifelinking creature that just fights another creature. So Test and Tactics, my personal favorite. One and a green for a rare from Journey into Nyx and Instant. It had Strive, which is, you know, as they say, every mechanic is a form of kicker. This was extremely a form of kicker. So for each target beyond the first, you pay an additional green. And until end of turn, any number of target creatures each get +1/+1 and get tap. This creature fights another target creature. So I use Setessan Tactics in a Hornet Nest deck that made a bunch of Hornets and would use it to fight my opponent's team with 1-1 Death Touchers. That deck was bad and wonderful.
I remember when people used to play the... used to play Domri Raid and Friction Obliterator together.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of the same thing, except instead of you're just getting bees.
Here's a quick question I had for you all. Why don't we see more rare fight spells? Like, we have our fourth now with Primal Might. Why aren't there more rare fight spells? Is it just because fight's just inherently like meh?
Well, even though it's been around since, like, what is Visions? Like, the second block or whatever, even though it's been around for a long time, they kind of trickled in until Prey Upon and original Innistrad. There would be like one fight spell here, one fight spell there, and then the keyword happened in original Innistrad, and then kind of you saw more of those effects.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, it's a common effect, and so we've seen a lot of fight at rare, but it's always stapled to a creature or something else. In Ikoria, you have Kogla the Titan Ape that can fight something when it enters the battlefield, or Gargos in Magic 2020, Territorial Allosaurus from Dominaria that you can kick it and then it can fight something, or Voracious Hydra or Wicked Wolf. I mean, we've had a ton of creatures recently that can fight on enter the battlefield, and so that's probably where they're doing it. They have a creature that's already powerful, and then they're using it as an add-on, whereas to do an instant or sorcery, you really have to add something else. And what is that thing going to be? Here it's, you know, nearly unlimited power. And sure, yeah, that makes sense.
Unlimited power.
And we've also...
And toughness.
And also, too, like, we had Savage Smash. That card was fantastic in Ravnica Allegiance. And it was a pump spell and a fight spell. I'm like, okay, that's not really complex. You probably want that a common. It makes sense they're also on creatures, because the biggest feel bad with Primal Might, as we were talking about earlier, is if they do something to the creatures that's trying to fight, that's it.
Right.
You 2-for-1 yourself.
No, that's true. And if you're casting like Kogla the Titan Ape and they remove it with the fight on the stack, well, that's just a 1-for-1. So it eliminates the feel bads.
Yeah.
Plus, at least you can kind of see that coming, and then you don't get bashed for +X/+X.
So here's another hypothetical. So we now have the rare fight spell that gets +X/+X. Would the +X/+X punch green spell, would that be a mythic? Just by logic's sake?
I think you would need 6 more lines of text. You're also going to have to give the creature, say, why don't you say everything that's on Questing Beast in counter form? So it gets like a vigilance counter and a death touch counter.
Oh, God.
And whatever else Questing Beast has, a counter that says it can't be blocked by creatures with power 2 or less. nobody remembers what Questing Beast does. That's fine.
Questing Beast, but an aura. Mythic rares. Print it, boys.
Oh, my goodness. What a nightmare. Eli, first of all, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing this preview card with us and our audience. Primal Might. Awesome. Eli, where on the internet can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @BlackShirtMan. Every once in a while, I write an article. Either it'll be for Channel Fireball or Collector Legion.
All right. We will link to your Twitter account and we will link to your most recent articles from various sources. Before we go, I got to say, this is great talking to you both. I'm really mourning the loss of GP Minneapolis that was happening in July. It was Pro Tour at the same time. And, you know, I love having everybody in town. And people say the best part of Magic is the gathering, but I think that's really been amplified as we've all been stuck in our homes staring at computer screens.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I have not played much, if any, Magic in the past month and a half. The fact that there's no gathering combined with companions, that's a whole other show topic. I just have not had any sort of desire to play Magic. And it's unfortunate, but it really does, as you said, underlines how important it is to have the social aspect of the game. Like, I really miss seeing Eli at GPs when we travel and
right,
like missing you. I miss playing Commander with friends. I miss like going to do a draft at FNM and getting like killed by a 14-year-old because you know, like I'm not a good drafter anymore. So it's just it's a shame.
Yeah, you definitely don't know what you got till it's gone. When we go back, I'm definitely going to be more appreciative of the gathering.
Yeah, I'm not going to do the like, I'm tired, I'm going to go back to my hotel. I'm going to do the let's get lit, everybody. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly.
I have done a little bit of playing Paper remotely. I shared it on Twitter, but I'll put in the show notes as well for anyone listening. My friend Evan put together 3D printer specs for a great home rig where you can use your cell phone as a webcam. And so we did a little Ikoria pre-release with some Paper pre-release kits and have played Commander a couple times. So if you have access to a 3D printer, that's a great way to stay connected with some folks and shuffle some cards, feel them in your hands. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, I just got a clip for my desk so I could hang my webcam about 2 feet in the air. So I'll be able to do that here. And I'd love to do that actually like this week or something. We'll have to talk. But
jam some games.
Jam some games.
Yeah, my last EDH deck was cycling, so I'll have a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
I want to update it. Also, I've been playing my friend's Legacy FNM. He's been organizing it for his local store in Phoenix. Oh. So if anybody, if you have suggestions for Force of Will list, brainstormless decks.
So I'm not going to lie. This makes me a monster. The one area where I do want to try Companion like once or twice is Legacy Snow Yorian, because that just seems like my jam.
I will enjoy catching Abundant Growth.
I do. I actually, no joke, I actually bought Abundant Growths like the moment like Sam Black talked about it. It was just like, oh yeah, here it is, here it is, here it is. And it's actually good. Like, it'll get played afterwards, I think, because it's fixed. It's like fixed Astrolabe. Who knew?
Artifacts are more broken than enchantments. You heard it here first.
All right. Well, thank you again, Eli, and thank you, listeners, for joining us today. You can find us on Twitter at our handle at MemoryJarMTG. We would love your feedback. And please tell us what cards you want to remember.
Again, special thanks to Chris Yates for the logo. We greatly appreciate it. You can find Chris on Twitter at CMY Company. That's company with a K. And until next time, may you enjoy preview season. May you enjoy opening new cards in whatever form you get them. And hopefully you can play some games in Magic.